Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. You doing okay, Brandon?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know. You seemed a little rocky there for a minute.
No, you seemed rocky. Okay. I don't know. Way. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Guess what?
What?
It's our birthday week this week.
It is.
So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Well, it's belated birthday for you and early birthday for me,
yeah.
But it's kind of like...
We're like right in the middle.
Right in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, literally this comes out right in the middle. It's true.
It's true.
It like never happens.
Oh, weird.
yeah, it was my birthday last Thursday, and it's your birthday this Thursday, so happy birthday.
The party never stops.
You really enjoy that I'm a week older than you.
You are quite old, yes.
But yeah, it's good. You doing all right and everything?
Oh, I'm fine.
Yeah, okay.
Can't complain. Well, I can, but no one will listen.
So what is your nerd thing this week?
Well, for our birthdays, well, not really. It's just happens to be that time of year because my birthday's actually on Robbie Burns Day.
Mm-hmm.
But this weekend we have gone to,
yes,
speaking in past tense and also future tense because we haven't done it yet,
right.
But we're going to a Scottish night,
yeah,
with haggis,
yeah,
and scotch,
oh,
and Robbie Burns and Scottish music and bagpipes.
Yes,
I don't know why I sound Irish.
Yeah, that was not a good Scottish
accent at all. I do a terrible Scottish accent, even though
your forefathers would be ashamed.
Even though I am ostensibly Scottish in some way. But
yep.
Anyway.
Nice.
We're going to do some
Scottish things. Do you want to know what my nerd thing is?
Sure. Yes, that is this part of the show,
yes.
So I would like to. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's the end of the semester and the beginning of the new semester, but today was the last day of my one grade 12 class, and I had them grade 10, 11, and 12, and they asked me at Christmas if we could, like, watch a movie or something, and stuff got rearranged so we couldn't, but today was their last Friday class, and they had me at the very end of the day.
Did you tell them it's all downhill from here?
Basically.
That's not true.
No. I gave them an elementary day because it's their last day of like semester high school, and so they came in that class only came in pajamas, and we played Heads Up 7-Up.
That's what I was thinking of elementary,
yeah,
school day.
Right?
Heads up
7-Up.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we had other games planned, but they kept wanting to play Heads Up 7-Up
because it's a gem.
Yep. And they had the day, and I said you could bring like a free reading book, you could like whatever. Some studied.
Nerds.
We watched Schoolhouse Rock. I offered Magic School Bus. We decided on Schoolhouse Rock.
Mm. Bill Nye.
Well, we said that, but they said it was still too much like learning.
I mean, fair, I guess.
But yeah, that was our last class.
Schoolhouse
today.
Rock and Magic School Bus also make you learn things.
It is, but they're shorter, so it's less painful. One student even didn't come in pajamas, but came and found me before to tell me he couldn't come in pajamas, and he was sorry and brought me a tea instead.
Should be sorry.
So it was really nice, and then the kids all like were smiling because everyone was like, why are you in pajamas today? And they're like, oh, just cuz.
See,
it was like a special day.
I get the elementary school day thing, but why
the
PJs? why
everyone's favorite day is pajama day.
Uh-huh.
But the reason was originally we were going to do an elementary Christmas day, and they were going to come in pajamas and watch Polar Express. But that didn't get to happen. So I was like, well, let's keep the pajamas and just play elementary.
Did
games.
You know apparently they're developing a sequel to that?
No, they aren't.
I don't know. It's like, yeah. I saw a headline that apparently they're developing a sequel to Polar Express. I don't know.
Mm.
It's like Polar Express 2, Steven Seagal or something. I don't know. He's on a train for some reason.
Polar 2 Express.
Yeah. Well, there was the Steven Seagal movie where
he's on the train for some reason.
Under Siege 2, Dark Territory, I believe, is what it was called. So it could
so
be
we could call
Polar
it
Express 2.
Polar Express 2,
Dark
North
Territory.
Brandon, what are we drinking? We're drinking the same thing. So what are we drinking?
We are drinking a delicious, it's a birthday beverage because you were gifted some fancy gin from a somewhat local distillery. And
yeah.
It's lemon lavender gin.
Lemon lavender.
It's very purple.
Lemon lavender is one of my favorite flavors of all time.
It's very purple.
My favorite scents, actually.
That would come from the lavender,
lavender,
I would imagine.
Sure. Yes.
It's very lemony as well, like yeah, a like strong it. Lemon. Mm-hmm. But it's a good flavor for gin, so it works well. I just put some sparkling water on top of it, nice. and away we go.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's tasty, and it's going to be, that is like the ultimate springtime flavor also, I find.
Yeah, we're rolling into spring now. It may have been minus 40 like 2 days ago, but it's springtime around the corner. Anytime in like 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Anytime.
It could be 4 months before we hit springtime.
Literally could be. In fact, it most likely will be.
The darn groundhog's going to screw us over again.
Always does. And we don't have like a new Marvel thing because our whole episode is going to be about Echo. So that's the other thing we kind of talk about right now. So,
So the next Marvel thing's probably going to be Agatha's thing.
Oh, really? Do we have a date on that?
No, but, the news, we can talk about it in the news, mm-hmm. but I'm just jumping into it now because it's Marvel and that's all we got. They are basically done wrapping filming-ish, sort of, kind of. Okay. That was the headline I read. Right. Probably did some reshoots in there, so mm-hmm. that's why they're still filming. Basically done.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, now, is that going to come up before or after Deadpool?
I don't know when Deadpool is coming out. Is that in the summer? Summer? Oh, yeah. That I was thinking Disney Plus stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, Deadpool's in will be, if it's May, cool. That'll be first.
Cool. All right. Speaking of, do you want to head to the news now?
Sure. Yes. Okay.
Disney A News Update.
The sure sounded much angrier than I meant.
You were like, it sounded annoyed.
Yeah, I didn't mean it that sure. way. I was just like, sure.
You were annoyed I was asking. Like, okay, well, never mind.
I didn't intend that. I don't know.
What it sounded like.
So. Well, sure.
Fine. Okay, so did you have more stuff to add to the Agatha, any kind of film news and stuff like that?
She-Hulk, the lady who played She-Hulk from Canada, she's mm-hmm. from Canada, she did some interviews this week, probably for a different show, I would imagine, yeah? And they were, some of the questions were about She-Hulk and, mm-hmm. like, how did she find doing She-Hulk and would she ever want to be She-Hulk again?
Right.
And if you recall, there was, this season two was greenlit, before.
Yes.
But, she's saying that's probably never going to happen.
Really?
She was quoted as saying like they kind of blew their budget and they're not doing shows like that anymore on Disney Plus is what she's heard. And,
okay, that's interesting.
But she would love to come back and play the character. She says
so. She's not like against. She's,
no, she had a great time. She says Jennifer Walters is a cool lady, and she'd like to play her again in whatever form that takes. So who knows? Who knows what's gonna happen? You see her in
maybe
in a movie.
What If 3 or something like that.
Well, I'm sure they could probably do something with What If as well.
Mm-hmm. Just saying, like she'll show up.
I also speaking of What If, a good segue here. I said how they had kiboshed a Marvel crossed with Star Wars
yes.
What If episode
mm-hmm.
apparently before like
we did say
before
that, yeah.
like just in the concept stage is like no you can't do that, but there is a rumor that they're exploring maybe doing a Star Wars What If, like specific
Ooh.
Star Wars, like what if Yoda went to the dark side or
right.
something like that.
That'd be super fun.
I would be down for it, and that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd be super down for that.
And then
explore that further.
And then further on, we've missed a lot of little bits of news and rumor
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
This one's a little bit more than
okay.
a rumor. It's been officially announced that there's going to be a Mandalorian movie.
Mm. How do we... Oh, I think this was, like, over the holidays.
Break, it's kind of...
Yeah.
It was, like, just as we were coming back from the holidays. But, yeah. There's
we were talking
be...
about Magic Keys.
Yes, we were a little distracted and, like, busy and stuff. But anyway, yes. Dave Filoni is going to be directing a Mandalorian and Grogu movie.
Right.
Jon Favreau is going to be directing it. Dave Filoni's kind of like the Kevin Feige of Star
right.
Wars now-ish.
Apparently.
Not quite as much power, but
yeah.
general...
Kevin Robot.
General steering of the Star Wars
yep.
storytelling now. So that So they actually have two firm movies in development after they've gone through a bunch that were supposedly in development and then have been canceled quietly. But yeah, you got your Mandalorian and then the Rey movie is going full steam ahead. Apparently this doesn't preclude them from making another Mandalorian season on Disney Plus. They might do that as well.
Right.
And there's always the talk of doing like a whole Mandoverse finale movie.
I was literally about
But
to
I
ask
don't
you
think
that.
This is that. I think it's just they're going to do a Mando movie, I don't know.
Interesting. There's like we're going to make movies in this world while we're making money in this world basically.
Yeah.
I love that. Actually.
And I believe Andor filming is about to start.
Okay.
Season 2 filming.
I feel like you're right. I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah. And like little bits and bobs like that. They're
stuff coming, but not here at the moment.
Yeah.
But like underway.
That's good.
That's like optimistic, right? Like we want, if they're taking a step back, we don't want them to like go like way in the shadows back, just back and like work on little pieces at a time and put it all together more seamlessly, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to see another like full on Star Wars trilogy, maybe not subtitled The Skywalkers Are Ruining Everything. But like have a set of three movies. That's what Rian Johnson, who did The Last Jedi, was supposed to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't been canceled yet. It's still maybe a thing, but
if it is, it's an awfully quiet thing right
now. I don't see that ever happening, but it would be nice. It would be nice to have a cohesive trilogy, of movies to look forward to. In
I
the Star
wonder
Wars
if that is maybe an idea for the Mandalorian movie, though.
No, I think that's
you
just
think
gonna
it's
be
like
a one off. I hope they kind of take it back to its like westerns, a western in Star Wars roots.
Yeah, we were talking about that
because the series is definitely strayed away from that. I've enjoyed each season in different ways, but the first season was definitely more western in space.
Straight
and,
up John Wayne.
Clint Eastwood, actually, but
yeah, especially like when he learns to ride the Blurg and stuff like that. Like if it was a horse, it would have been
It was very like your Dark Tower series with the gunslinger was based on Clint Eastwood's Man with No Name, and the Mandalorian was again kind of an interpretation of that in the Star Wars universe at first.
Totally.
And then it kind of went off the rails with Grogu and everything like that. But
That's why I was wondering if they were going to maybe do like this world, like you said, the Mandoverse. You know, there's Ahsoka and there's like if that's going to be the three movie kind of arc or
that'd be nice. You could do that. I don't know if that's the plan.
Yeah.
Or if there is a plan. Hopefully there's a plan.
Hopefully. Well,
make
that's,
a plan.
That was the problem with the sequels.
Yes.
There was no plan.
No plan.
I still like the sequels better than the prequels, though. Gen Z. I said what I said.
I like the plot of the prequels better, but I like the, like, just the feeling of the sequels better. But, like, Rise of Skywalker is pretty bad. it's really nonsensical.
I like Kylo, but the big thing is, I remember like the feeling of watching The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens was excellent, even
and
though
I
it was
remember
kind of
the
a,
feeling yeah. of watching like any of the prequels, and they were not the same.
Yeah, no, the prequels had the right bones and like just terrible dialogue and not the best acting, even though all the actors are actually pretty good. It was mostly the director's fault
because
no one would tell Lucas no at that point.
Right.
So that's that problem. And then the sequels had the right feeling and some pretty good acting in there, but it was boneless. It was kind of a jellied mass.
Right. There was no cohesion.
No.
You got scared of the internet people.
Well, just have a plan and also maybe respect the legacy characters a little bit more. The fact that they never had like Han, Luke, and Leia in the same place ever.
Oh, that is a good point.
Really too bad. Like, anyway, we're getting really distracted here. Let's go back on track. This isn't news. Star Wars, yeah. So they're gonna make some stuff.
Do you know what the Rey movie is about?
It's about Rey.
Is it later?
It's much later. It's like there's like a 20-year time jump.
That was
or something.
My question.
Yeah.
Is it like immediately or is it like
no? There's a time. There's a time jump and it's supposedly about her rebuilding the Jedi Order.
Nice, cool. Okay, so my news. I have a few little ones. There's lots and lots and lots of merch out. What really cool, it was all over Instagram, and I'm sure, like, other Twitter X or whatever it is. But all over, they were putting the elephant back in the Jungle Cruise, and so there was a helicopter, and you could see it, like, pulling an elephant, so all of the, I see an elephant fly, kind of.
Thing. Dumbo room.
Yeah.
The elephant was out of the Jungle Cruise.
An elephant was out of a Jungle Cruise, apparently.
Oh, interesting. Cause, yeah. Because they've been redoing like the dig site where the tiger is.
Totally. Or maybe they were replacing one. I don't know, but there's definitely a helicopter flying through LA with a giant elephant.
Things you don't see every day.
Exactly. And it was dropping, and it was an elephant. Animatronic
Operation so. Dumbo Drop.
Exactly. There was also those jokes.
Yeah. Tell me you're a 90s kid without telling me you're a 90s kid. Right?
Like,
yeah.
The reference. There's a lot of Valentine's Day stuff going on at the Disneyland Resort. Their Disney Parks blog has unveiled the full menu of food and beverage items for Valentine's Day. Those will start February 1st, so I'll talk about them later. But also there's, like, a popcorn bucket and, like, some treats and things like that. Lots of candy-type stuff,
is there anything special for magic key holders?
There might be. The new Pixar Place Hotel sign has been officially installed, and the Reimagined Hotel will officially reopen on January 30th. Of course, they've been mostly open this whole time
it never closed. Yeah. Even when the front door was closed, the hotel was still open.
Exactly. So this is just going to be like fully open.
Miserable,
like grand.
Miserable to stay there when
and
it was
I'm
like,
sure they were not discounting.
No, they weren't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Crazy. Anyway.
January 30th is the official date for that.
Well, that's good. Not somewhere I think I would ever stay.
Probably not, because it's not any, well, not much closer than some of the good neighbor hotels, yeah, like
just,
the one that we
maybe if they extended magic hours to be more than just a half an hour.
Yeah,
back,
maybe.
Back to the old days. But
full hour. Mm-hmm.
That.
And now they even do alternating magic hours. Like, you can't choose. It's one day is DCA, one day is Disneyland.
That was always the case, and it was only on special days. Yeah. I remember, because, like, when you... You used to be, you get a 5-day park hopper and
yes.
you get your magic.
Any more than
magic
three.
Morning.
Mm-hmm.
Five, I think you got two, but it was always only specific days.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think it alternated parks or something. I don't know. Anyway, that's not the case anymore anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
And we don't buy mere park hoppers anymore.
Until next year. And then the other thing I was going to run through very quickly was some of the Lunar New Year stuff. So there's a, so this
it's
is
it's dragon themed this year, yes.
It is dragon themed.
Yeah.
So
you get some Mushu pork.
And I think I'm, ouch. I think I mentioned before that they have characters from Turning Red there now.
Oh, that's cool. I
or
like
there
that.
There will be.
I like that. Yeah.
Both the mom and the daughter, and I believe the panda.
Well, the daughter is the panda. Well,
well
so is the
I
mom.
Mean, but like she appears in both her forms.
Ah, I see.
I think. I know for sure the mom and daughter because I've seen pictures of the like what they'll look like. DCA will host the Lunar New Year from Tuesday, January 23rd through February 18th in celebration of Chinese, Korean, and Vietnamese cultures and traditions. Of course, there's going to be the Sip and Savor Pass. They haven't yet announced the price, but the 2023 one was $45 for a regular.
So this one will be $62.
Probably. $42 for Magic Key Holders.
Magic Key Holders.
There are 6 festival marketplace food kiosks. Then, of course, like some of the other places do have the like specials as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you didn't want me to run through everything. So
absolutely
let's just
not,
do
no.
like some highlight type
Pick
things.
Your top... 3 things.
Okay, well, why don't I tell you first of all just what the names of the marketplaces are?
You know what my top thing is?
What?
This is seasonal, but I don't know what it's for, nothing really, but the we saw a video of the chili cheese baked potato at the refreshment corner, and
that
it's seasonal.
Really
I looked
it
up in the app and
it
it's
is,
seasonal.
It is seasonal. I think it's just winter.
Oh, anyway, it looks delicious. It has spicy Fritos
Unless
on it.
Unless it's an early Valentine's.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of red.
Sometimes they put spicy
it's kind of red. Anyway,
stuff.
Chili
yeah.
cheese and a hot dog in a mm-hmm. in a baked potato with spicy Fritos on
nice.
It. Sign me up.
That looked really good,
looked
actually.
Hearty.
It did. It looked like a lot of bang for your buck, too. Like, that's going to fill you up for a while. to mash with all the sweet stuff you're going to be eating, all those churros. Okay, so I'm just going to run through the festival marketplaces. There's Bamboo Blessings. My top, this is mostly drinks. There is a Mickey-shaped hot dog bun, but other than that, it's like cocktails and macarons and punches and stuff like that. They have an iced coffee. They have a Taro Vietnamese iced coffee. That is the number one choice. I had a Taro iced coffee, was the holiday.
That's the beverage you want out of everything on here?
Yes, or the strawberry milk tea macaron.
Okay, no. You get one beverage.
I want a Taro iced coffee.
Okay.
Yes. Not quite as much good as a cold brew, generally, but I'm really intrigued by the Taro thing because the best cold brew, or one of the best cold brews I had, was a Taro-based one. Oh, okay. So that's kind of why I'm thinking that.
Yeah, did it tell you your future? Different Taro. I know.
Longevity Noodle Company. There's, of course, these are a lot of noodles.
I like noodles.
And there's a dragon cocktail, which would be really good
too. You already picked your drink.
No, I'm picking the garlic noodles from here. It's long noodles tossed in zesty garlic butter with Parmesan. You would like the shrimp lo mein ones, but I'm getting garlic.
Noodle, like, if I was going to this, which I'm definitely not, Lunar New Year time is not good for us. That's why we're not going.
I know, even
with the pass. Anyway,
they only go on February 18th. Even the one time we could go in February, we just can't go.
Yeah. It's just not. Maybe next year, because I think we're aiming to go in February next year, actually.
Yeah, but I don't think Lunar New Year will be on then.
Oh, it's over already?
It ends this year on February 18th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
So then, no. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I would spend a lot of time at the noodle cart. So.
Yeah, I know. Really good, right? And the shrimp lo mein one, in case you're wondering, is new this year, so maybe they'll bring it back next year. Sometimes they have that repeat. It depends on how popular it is, right?
Okay, so that's two. You get one more.
No, you said I got like a meal. There are six carts.
Yeah, well, you've messed up then already if you're picking stuff from the first two carts. I said your top three things.
Okay, well,
you've misunderstood the assignment.
Yeah, I did. I'm picking one from each.
Not
Lucky Eight Lantern.
Okay.
I'm getting. I don't even know what. Oh, that sounds good.
I want whatever that picture is. I don't know what it is, but I want it.
That's at the next place.
Oh, okay.
So this one is kind of cool. It seems like there's like a mix of Mexican inspired stuff. There's a lot of tequila based stuff, like there's a hibiscus tequila drink, things like that. But I would be after, I don't even know what this
is. I'm making a face at that. That's weird, but okay.
Queso Barilla egg roll with cajillo pepper consomme.
Okay, but I'm down for that.
Right?
Yeah.
That sounds good. Sounds like cheesy egg roll, right? Okay. You want to go to the next place, Prosperity Bowen Buns.
Yeah, I like Bow. That's what I saw. Yeah.
All of these things, because this is a brewing company with Bow Buns.
Okay, I'll just live there. You know, forget what I said about the noodle cart. The noodle cart is now dead to me.
And everything is new here. So I don't know whether I'd have the lychee IPA.
Ooh.
Dragon fruit Hefeweizen.
Ooh.
There's a mango beer foam. I know that doesn't interest you, but it totally interests me. A brewery and grapefruit panda pool party bamboo rice lager, which I feel like you kind of need to try.
I don't know if I'd like any of those beers, but I would want to try them.
I think I'd really like the IPA, actually. I love lychee.
Yeah, it's a strong, such a strong,
it is a strong
flavor.
One. I told you about the tangerine dragon fruit Hefeweizen, right?
Yeah.
How about the barbecue pork bun with kimchi, mayo, and garlic
chili? Yeah, that's what I want.
I think that's what that is.
I think so.
And then there's Kung Pao Bao with plant-based chicken, peanuts, and scallions.
You know, it'd be better if it was just real chicken. But anyway, that sounds good too.
But doesn't this look like a good cart?
I love kimchi so much.
So I could like sit there with a jar of pickles and eat the jar of pickles. I bet if I got you a jar of kimchi, you could just sit there and eat the kimchi. You probably wouldn't feel great afterwards.
I would feel horrible, and you would feel worse because
you'd have to deal with you being.
Because that's fermented cabbage, and that does not come out well the other end, but it tastes delicious.
When I was looking at this, I thought the next car would be your favorite, but I think it's going to be, it would be the Bowen beer one.
Yeah.
How about the Red Dragon Spice Traders?
That sounds really good too.
Here I think.
So I've heard things and it's like, yeah, the food and wine festival is really good. And like the holiday festival is okay. But a lot of people really, really like people who go to Disneyland all the time.
Yeah.
Really, really like the Lunar New Year food. And I'm like, But I don't know. That's kind of weird. No, it sounds really good.
Sounds really good. And then the other thing to remember is this is slow time at Disney Parks, right? Mm. So it'll be a lot of people who'd go several times to try all their favorites because it would be like your local pass.
That's what you kind of do at this time of year. Mm, yeah,
exactly.
I don't know. That's,
so this one, I know what you want. You want the gin, ginger, and peach puree drink.
Hmm.
Or maybe the guava whiskey one. No, you want the peach basil, Collins. I, though, want the red spice fried chicken bites at this place.
Peach?
You want me to go back?
Chicken bites?
No, no, no. Fried chicken. It's the red spice fried chicken bites.
Why don't I want them?
Because you're going to get the peach basil Collins, which is a gin drink.
But I like chicken, too.
Okay, you can also have the chicken.
Anyway.
And then the last one is called Wrapped with Love. This is like lots of dumplings. My goodness, I think everything here is new. All of these places also have lots of different drinks. Like there's an oat milk tea here. Almost all of them have an alcoholic drink option as well. Do I want lemongrass chicken or do I? No, I'm going to go steamed pork and vegetable dumplings with black garlic sauce.
Yep.
The homemade dumplings?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there's also fried lemongrass ones.
Yeah, lemongrass is okay.
Really good. Lemongrass chicken.
Yeah, lemongrass chicken is okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's too lemongrassy.
Yeah. I'm just going to run. I'm not going to explain what's at everyone, but I'm just going to tell you the restaurants where you can get some stuff. Boardwalk Pizza and Pasta has some stuff. These are just restaurants throughout DCA. The Cappuccino Cart has some things. Cucina Cucamonga has some things. Or A Thing. Of course, Lamplight does. Brandon. I gotta tell you what's at Lamplight. Spicy Dan Dan noodles is crispy pork belly and noodles with spicy Szechuan sauce.
Yeah.
Right?
Put me down for them pork belly.
Also milk tea and taro donuts. Oh, and the Kung Pao Bao. Paradise Garden Grill, of course,
We
did have some really good
at Lamplight Lounge, and it was amazing.
I'm hoping to go to Lamplight when I'm there in the spring.
That might have been my favorite thing that we ate at Disneyland.
Really?
I like that bow. Yeah.
The funny thing is, when we were there, that was the 2022 Christmas and then 2023 holiday season.
Yeah.
We called all of the booths. They may as well just call it the Macaroni and Cheese Fest because we had like four different kinds of mac and cheese from the booths.
The food and wine had a lot of cheese too, but like the proportions were even greater because there's of course less booze.
Mm-hmm.
For the holiday one and for this Lunar New Year, they have less booths than the food and wine proper.
Yes, I think so.
Because that goes on longer and there's more.
Of course. But
whatever. There was a lot of macaroni and cheese.
It's great. I had so much fun with it.
I'm not complaining.
Mac and cheese might be it might be my favorite food. Like, it is so good.
It's
especially
good.
Funky mac
and
cheese.
Funky
yeah.
mac and cheese it's great.
Yeah, so if you're know. That's that one. But this one sounds great. Pim Test Kitchen does have a cold brew. Oh, yum. Sonoma Terrace has an option. Studio Catering Co. and Hollywood Lounge has an option. Terran Treats. How's a strawberry green teacher? Oh, yeah.
What about Tortilla Joe's? Because you didn't talk about that news.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, hold on. Some of the outdoor vending carts, there's like a special bao, special turkey leg.
Special churros,
of course. Two different kinds. There's a dragon fruit one.
Hmm.
And an orange ginger one. And then there's lots of novelty things. You know, there's the stainless steel tumbler and some glow cubes. Things like that.
Your typical stuff.
Of course. The hotels. Grand California at Craftsman Bar. The Craftsman Grill. The Great Hall Cart, Hearthstone Lounge, Storytellers, all of those have different things. Disneyland Hotel Goofy's Kitchen is bringing in some special things.
Yeah.
And in Downtown Disney, the Jazz Kitchen has an option. Kayla's Cake, which I've never been to, has an option. Naples, Splitsville, Tortilla Joe's.
Oh, they get one more.
This is their last option, I'm sure. I highly doubt they'll bring in special things for food and wine, although they are open for the beginning of it.
Yeah, I guess it's like midway through that they're closing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the news. Tortilla Joe's is officially closing at the end of March.
March 31st. Now, the the takeaway, the like walk up, is going to stay open for a couple more weeks after that.
I didn't even know there was a walk up. So
Taqueria. That's open. I don't know the exact date. I want to say the 14th, maybe the 12th, something like that. But mid-April. that one's going to close.
Okay.
Tortilla Joe's does have options here, though, and Wetzel's Pretzels has that option as well. But yes, Tortilla Joe's, long assumed they'd be closing with the whole Downtown Disney refurb.
Well, it was because they're refurbing and they're changing one of the, like, the main restaurants in the little circle area where there was always the circle bar in the middle. They're rebuilding that whole thing, but that's going to be like an elevated Mexican food restaurant.
Yep.
I forget what it's called now, but it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And so it was long assumed that there wouldn't be two Mexican restaurants.
Of course.
And that makes sense. No one knows what's going in where Tortilla Joe's is now, though. Speculation, maybe Earl of Sandwich.
It's awfully but it's, big for it's Earl huge. Of Sandwich. They very specialized. And Earl of Sandwich, isn't that supposed to open in the summer?
Well, that's why they're thinking Earl of Sandwich, because anywhere else that they're building right now is not going to be ready for summer.
Right. But it looks like a Tortilla Joe's.
And they're making the Earl of Sandwich like a special, it's a bigger
that
thing with
true.
The tavern piece that they've had before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to be on the rooftop. And there is a rooftop kind of section
okay.
at Tortilla Joe's.
All right, yeah.
I don't know how they're going to make it look less adobe Mexican architecture. But I don't know.
Yeah.
At least it's a building that exists. And they can
that's
go in
true.
There and they can draw Earl on there.
Maybe.
And he'd be like, my name is Earl.
Welcome
of sandwich.
To sandwich. You know, maybe they take away a few of the details. Maybe put up a coat of paint. Maybe they could probably mitigate it a little bit. Maybe as like a placeholder.
Yeah, it's just funny. They made the Jazz Kitchen so like mall food court, and then they're closing Tortilla Joe's, which had the interesting architecture, and like who knows what they're gonna do to that? Probably make it look like a mall food court.
Yeah, I don't know, Brandon. I don't know. Anyway. I don't know if I'm gonna be there while it's closing. We are discussing trying to get reservations before it closes. It's gonna depend on how busy. Like, everyone's gonna be trying to get reservations to eat there one more time.
I guess. I mean, it is, at the end
it's
of the day,
chain.
Just a Mexican
yes.
food restaurant.
I've never been. I know it's, like, a favorite. So we're gonna try, but we're not gonna, like, lose sleep over trying or anything. It's kind of where we're at. So maybe I will or will not report at being there one of its last days.
I think you should go for it anyway.
We're going to try. That is our plan. We're going to go for it to try. Anything else that you want to add? Thank you about the Tortilla Joe's thing.
I don't know. Probably forgot a few things again, but we caught up on some stuff that
yeah.
I forgot a few episodes in
exactly.
a row.
Exactly. We're really focused on Magic Keys, of course. Okay, let's head to the main topic.
Disney Plus and chill.
So we're going to kind of take, if you listen to our What If Season 2 episode, we're going to take kind of the same, approach that we did during What If Season 2. We're going to talk about it. We're going to do some, like, overall summaries. We're not going to, like, necessarily avoid spoilers, but we're not going to be rehashing lots of details or anything like that. So it's, like, a semi-spoiler warning, but we're not going to be talking about, like, you know, this is how it ends or anything like that. Keep it pretty general.
Well, I think we're going to talk about how it ends, but
okay.
We're not going to talk about each and every single episode in detail.
Not in detail. More like a short summary of each episode.
Yeah, just kind of like...
hey, this is what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
There are only 5 episodes, so...
Yeah, so very, very short. The shortest thing that's ever been on Disney Plus.
True, and you said the longest episode...
Except for Willow, but that's not on Disney Plus anymore.
Right.
Get it, because Willow's short.
Yeah, no,
is a good joke. Ow. Ow! That was rude. Why did you hit me? Anyway, and it's actually a little bit shorter because, as we mentioned last week, this is the first Marvel Spotlight series, and they unveiled this new banner, Marvel Spotlight, as a way to put out these shows that are they're still connected to the greater universe of the MCU and everything. Take place in the same place as Iron Man and Captain America live and everything like that. But you don't have to watch 27 movies and
right.
300 hours of Disney Plus shows to get what's going on and all
yeah.
these little references or anything. It's supposed to be a self-contained story.
Exactly.
So that's the gist of it. And to that end, because Echo Maya was introduced in the Hawkeye series
yes.
randomly,
mm-hmm.
Along with Kingpin being reintroduced into the
yeah.
MCU... they kind of did a recap episode. Episode
kind
one
of.
is like
two-thirds, half.
There was a fair bit of actual full-on repeated scenes
yeah.
from the Hawkeyes of like very specific things that were pertaining to Maya and her origin story kind of thing. And there was quite a bit of new footage as well, giving context to that whole backstory, but it was,
and then also leading into
like how she got there and what happened leading up. So you didn't have to have watched Hawkeye to get this, 'cause you got it retold to you with more context.
Yes.
And that, I think it worked pretty good, but it is kind of I was a little bit disappointed knowing how short the season was to have it kind of half of a rehash.
Right.
Just because we knew the story already, but it did work for having it as a self-contained story, I guess. And
I agree. And I thought it was okay. Like, it wasn't just like the first half of this episode, like it was interwoven throughout what was going on. So the premise is that after the events of Hawkeye, Maya has taken off to head to her hometown. So we see her like as a kid, and then we see her reestablishing or like basically hanging out in her hometown a little bit, but kind of like hiding there. And inter kind of woven throughout all that are flashbacks of her as a child, like losing part of her leg and so on.
Yeah, we find out how she loses her leg.
And her mother.
And her mom. So interestingly, female superhero doesn't have daddy issues like most superheroes. She has mommy issues and grandmommy issues.
She kind of has daddy issues, though, because
The
whole vengeance is because daddy died.
Yeah, so basically we learn that in her hometown, the Kingpin's tendrils kind of reach out there, and like the gang activity is kind of in this small town. He kind of uses like shipping for underhanded smuggling stuff.
There's
or
like
whatever
train
and her dad's side of the family is involved in that business, and her mom's side of the family doesn't really appreciate that about him,
of course,
and her mom is killed as like collateral damage,
right?
And that's how Maya's injured as well. She's born deaf, though. Mm-hmm. That wasn't part of the injury. Like, she loses her leg as an injury, but she was born deaf, and like that's why her whole family kind of knows sign language as well, which is an interesting kind of part of this show, showing like true family and not true family and things like that.
Yeah.
There's some themes going on there as well.
Totally. And then we also have a lot of like the mysticism and the belief system that is tied to like her indigenous roots.
Yeah, so she's obviously Native American, and a specific tribe that I'm not going to try and pronounce is like Choctaw. Okay.
And we apologize for pronouncing. Yeah,
no,
I'm not going to talk about each episode title, because each one is actually based on a Choctaw woman that she can follow her like familial lineage through.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to screw that up.
Terrible at pronunciating things like that word that I just did, and that's just a regular English word. Anyway, and they consulted with the tribe to get the mythology.
They did.
Like accurate.
They helped write those elements.
Yeah. And actually the very interesting, like the very first scene is like kind of like creation myth of the tribe.
What?
And it's like, what the heck is going on? Did we click on the right thing?
Yeah, I literally thought almost, I was like what?
Very interesting. And then it's like also kind of interesting how like Native American culture is a little bit more matriarchal with the whole
this particular tribe,
shamanism and
yes,
like stuff like that. The ancestors, they embrace that as well, and so she can, a lot of her power, the powers that get revealed through the series are based in her female ancestors specifically, which is interesting.
It is very interesting. It's like passed down. And they say, like, it comes out. So this is, like, an overarching thing. Each one shows an element or an ancestor who, like, faced something. So the first, which is, like, this is the very first one. And then later on, it's, like, one who was gaining strength during a game. They were playing a game to decide who would, like, gain control of a particular land.
Primitive lacrosse.
Basically, yeah. No, it was.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was
prototype lacrosse, I guess, not primitive. It was
it was a little flat out lacrosse.
It was very vicious lacrosse is what it was.
And then there was another one who was an excellent shot, and her father was involved with the Light Horsemen, which is an actual thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so
back
she was,
in the Old West,
yeah,
and they're kind of like the native version of the Texas Rangers,
yes,
kind of thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then another one was. Actually, and then it talks about her mother, but then it also was talking about her grandmother, who's a fixture of this as well. And she was during her her giving birth to her mother was part of that, and it was very interesting to me. I really appreciated this look at these are all these different ways they are strong, because throughout it they talk. Maya has these moments of where this strength comes to her. She's a strong, very capable fighter and everything like that, but sometimes she has almost a superhuman strength, and then she says this is when these moments where the ancestors are speaking through her, and it is specifically you said, women. Now what I really liked is each episode is named for the one that it's talking about at the time, but episode 5 is named Maya. And I was yeah, it is.
Very cool. No, it worked well, that structure, and it wasn't it didn't hit you over the head with it?
No. It was kind of moments of it. The most blatant one was actually in episode 1, because you open with it and you're what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on? Well, and also the one where they did it as a silent film style.
Oh, that was so cool.
Silent film Western
that
style.
That was the Western one, yeah, the Light Horseman.
I liked that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I like nerdy film stuff like that.
Totally.
So,
I totally agree. Okay, so anyway, I just wanted to say that is a
thoroughfare. That's the overall arc.
Yeah.
We pick up with Maya after she's quote-unquote killed the kingpin in Hawkeye.
Yes.
And she's running away.
And injured.
And a little bit injured. She's okay, well, I killed him. I don't care about it. I'm trying to leave the life. But of course, his whole criminal empire's still in effect, and they're out for blood to avenge their boss
kind of thing.
And so they're hunting her down,
yeah.
and she's like, oh, I can't escape, and so she's gonna go to war against them.
Yes.
Is kind of the starting off point of the series.
And she does make a point where she does say, and I don't know if it's in episode 1, might be episode 2, but somewhere near the very beginning when she says the kingpin was a mess, I think it's time for a queen. So you also get this idea that she's trying to leave a life, but if not, maybe she just wants the power for herself. She's really gray character-ish.
Oh,
she
is the anti-heroist anti-hero that ever anti-hero. There's no illusion of she's just misunderstood and heart of gold kind of thing.
Loki has more heroic moments than Echo does, actually.
Loki just had daddy issues and he just wants the approval of his daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Maya is full-on chaotic neutral.
Yeah, she, very cool.
Which is you don't see characters done that way well very often.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's tough to write someone who's not black and white.
Yeah.
It's very difficult, and I think it sometimes you're pulling for her, and sometimes you're like, whoa, she's...
I was like, maybe she needs to be taken down.
Yeah.
I don't know here.
and it works out, and then...
Super.
And she, kind of navigates through that, and dancing back and forth between
mm-hmm.
what's important and, what she wants, and seeking power, and I don't know if I'm that kind of person or
right.
or what. And,
oh,
and,
yeah, that is during episode 1. I just looked it
yeah.
up. Yeah. So Henry is her uncle. I don't know how close, I don't know if that's her dad's brother.
Yeah,
or if
dad,
it's
her,
an extended family.
It's
member.
Her dad's brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe it's a second uncle. I don't know.
No, no. Yeah,
but
her,
she also
her
meets
brother,
her cousin, Biscuit. So we find out that growing up, she was best friends with her one cousin. And then she had that cousin.
I'm pretty sure both of those cousins are from her mom's side of the family.
Yes, I believe they are. And then that brother is named Biscuit. I'm sure a nickname or something. So Biscuits meets her right away because she's kind of hiding out at Grandma's old house.
And she hasn't seen any of this family for 20 years.
They basically all wrote her off. We find out that after the mother died, Grandma looked at Dad and said, I will never forgive you for this. And so Dad took Maya to New York, where he got involved in everything, and then she and got she involved in karate. Everything. Exactly. And
and fought Daredevil, apparently.
And yes, and didn't die, so Kingpin's so, like, good for wait, you.
Wait, yeah, you're actually pretty good at that. Okay.
Yeah, where she feels like, Devastity's like, you held out way more than, like, most people. You didn't die, so, you know.
Which was fun. I
liked that. Yeah, that was a cool moment.
It was a cool moment. I was hoping there would be a little bit more Daredevil.
I was kind of hoping he'd come back later.
But he was in She-Hulk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Oh!
Oh, anyway. But it was kind of cool. And I don't know. I hope they... We'll see what happens in the Daredevil series. I'm assuming Maya might come back
I'm
in that.
I'm hoping so.
I mean, he's got it, but we'll talk about that at the end. So, yeah.
So Uncle Henry runs this, like, very cool skating rink kind of thing. And she
roller
asks,
disco.
Yeah, and she asks him for help. And that this is the point when she says it's time for a queen. And he's like, I don't want to endanger my family. Absolutely not. You keep your war in New York. We're just like, we're going to keep our heads down here and we cross our T's and dot our I's.
He's involved in the illicit shipping business, and he runs the roller disco as kind of like a front. It's like probably money laundering going on there.
But it's still like a happy community kind of thing.
And he does what he's told, but like tries to keep it low key and...
Just wants to stay off the radar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then we end this episode. The big reveal is not actually that big of a reveal because we have Fisk in the hospital.
Yeah, he's not dead. Everybody knew that. It's actually literally from the comics. And as soon as he got shot, and
totally.
They never showed a body. If you don't show a body, no one's dead.
Exactly.
Yeah. Unless your name's Uncle Ben.
Unless you're Uncle Ben, yes. So the next episode, we head to a Maya's Biscuits to help with. She's involved with a train.
Train heist series. It kind of starts off almost. Again, we were talking about The Mandalorian being like a Western. This almost starts off like a little bit of a Western. There's a whole train heist going on.
There is.
And it's pretty cool because Maya gets to be super badass robbing a train.
Exactly. And this is, at least that's what you think. Well, we think she's robbing something. And then this is the first moment when you see... So when the ancestors speak to you, your hands glow. Like, there's a marking on your hands that glow a little bit. And she gets her... her artificial leg stuck when she's doing this, and she's trying to like free herself, and then the strength comes to her and she's able to do that. So we also see her reconnecting a little bit with some of her family members. Her cousin that she was very close to growing up, Bonnie. She's scared to talk to her, but Bonnie finds out that she's there.
From Biscuits. Thanks, Biscuits.
Biscuits I love him so much.
He's absolutely adorable.
He's
like
a golden retriever, I'm pretty sure.
He steals every scene he's in this entire scene.
He's just so he's happy, adorable. And he loves everyone. He's a golden Biscuits is a golden retriever.
Biscuits reminds me of what I assume that in Schitt's Creek, Dan Levy's character would be like. That's what I haven't actually watched the show, but just from the clips.
I think he's a little bit more uppity than that, though.
Maybe. Well,
but
yeah.
Just
I mean,
that scene stealing.
Scene stealing
like,
and like.
Yeah. Everybody loves it.
Yes,
yeah.
But yeah, Biscuits is more genuine, not rich person snobbery, which is the whole funny part of Schitt's Creek, obviously. But yeah, just kind of like happy and wants to help and yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Henry warns Maya, like, maybe stop what you're doing, and she doesn't tell him about the train thing that happened. And do we want to say what happened at this point?
Well, so the whole point is she wasn't stealing nothing from the train. She put something in the train, which, of course, Fisk and his empire were using to transport weapons or something to their weapon warehouse in this special cargo container. And she plants a big old bomb in there.
Big old bomb.
And blows up the entire thing to cripple their whole criminal activity, because all their stuff was in this big warehouse.
Yeah, so she's assuming, she's like, I'm crippling this activity, and Fisk is dead. It's going to be chaos. And
maybe chaos is a ladder.
Exactly. It might be. Exactly.
Which is obviously a Game of Thrones quote, but she's thinking along those lines. Like,
totally.
She doesn't just want to blow stuff up. She maybe wants to take over.
She's like, if there's anything left to take over, I will take it over. If not, then at least it's destroyed. Like, literally chaotic neutral.
Yeah.
Also, at this is the episode where at the end, Grandma learns that she's back in town. We also get a little bit of like, she reconnects with her grandfather a little bit. She's still avoiding Bonnie at this point. She and Biscuits have, like, a very cool kind of, like, she's kind of using him a little bit, which I'm, like, super angry about. But he's just, like, happy to help, so he's aware of it, but, like, fine with it kind of thing.
Yeah, he's like, he knows he's getting used, but it's, like, it's his cousin, and he wants to help her. And
yeah,
like,
he's like, hey, I haven't seen my cousin in 20 years, and she needs help. I don't care if she's using me for help. I'm here to help her.
I'm sure that the whole family kind of knows the, like, nefarious part of the dad's branch of the family, and, like,
that's why grandma hasn't contacted her.
There's whole undercurrent, so he kind of knows what's going on, and he knows what he's getting into, and
he's really loving and wonderful, but he's not an idiot.
No, he's not. He's not stupid.
He's just like, family comes first, and if this is the kind of stuff you're into, but you need help, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I love Biscuits, and he has a dog.
He does have a dog. He does.
Of course he does.
That's how you know he's good. Because he has a dog, and the dog likes him.
Episode 3 does open with a silent film section that I didn't
Okay, that
like.
Was episode 3.
Yeah, that
yeah,
was
that
episode
was,
3. That was the halfway
that's
mark.
Right. Okay, so, well,
we go, like, closer to time is the idea.
Yeah.
Like, skips a couple
yeah.
generations.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, but you really liked that opening. I did, too.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
We'll pick out our favorite episodes at the end, but spoiler alert, episode 3 is... yeah. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
So... Episode 3 is the one, basically, this is a lot of family stuff going on as well, once we get past the silent film part.
Yep.
Grandpa keeps trying to convince Grandma to go reach out to Maya.
So, interestingly, like, in the flashbacks, we see Grandma and Grandpa, like, having a fire and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's cute.
The night of the big accident and stuff, and then when we come back, like, Maya comes back to town, we find out that they're no longer together. They've had a gray divorce is what they would call that.
What gray divorce?
Just like when you're old senior age
you've
been together, usually refers to couples. You're gray, but like generally it's like couples that have been together for a long time, had kids, and the kids have grown up and they've left and you're empty nesters, and then they like get a divorce in their 50s or 60s or
interesting.
Yeah, it's great divorce. Anyway,
I've never heard that before. Because
it's like they've been together so long, and then you raise kids together, and then the kids are gone, and you're like, oh, I actually don't like you anymore.
You're not the person that I met, and you're not the person I was raising kids with, and this is just not working.
Yeah, it's
anymore.
Just like, yeah.
We also get this idea, because they kind of have, like, a nice little back and forth, but you totally understand that Grandma's heart was completely shattered when her daughter died.
Yeah, and it's tough.
And she just has cut everyone out.
They don't, like, hate each other or anything, and, like...
No, they're just not together.
Grandpa is still pretty darn flirty with Grandma, which is pretty cute.
It's super cute, and she just rolls her eyes and, like... She jokes with him and is like, oh, go sit over there. Like,
yeah.
It's there's no hate. There's no animosity here.
No animosity.
They're just like, we're not together
anymore. Yeah, just not together anymore.
Yeah.
Which is just interesting way to do it.
Okay, so we find out that someone who worked with Henry, like, tipped
off. Uncle Henry.
Henry, right. Sorry, yes. Uncle Henry at the roller derby tipped off Fisk's enforcers.
Men? Yeah, he's the shoe guy, and he's like, hey, there's a bounty on this. On this lady, and I just saw her. I want to collect that bounty.
Exactly. So they show up, and they, you know, hold Henry at gunpoint. Bonnie shows up at one point, and Henry's like, you need to leave. He's like trying to get her out of this. They grab her.
Uncle Henry knows these guys are super bad news, and Shoe Boy does not realize he's over his head.
Yeah, and he keeps like, he's like, they're just going to kill you. And he's like, no, I'm going to collect the bounty. No, they're just going to kill you. Like,
well, so, yeah, this guy, and he's got two ladies with him, like, that are his, the other employees of the roller derby, and they're like, your trailer park wannabe gangsters.
They're almost cartoonish.
It's pretty funny. And so they've actually, like, kidnapped Maya and locked her in the storage room, and they're trying to get these real gangsters to pay them the bounty, and they should just give them Maya, and they would have probably paid if they had gotten what they wanted.
Sure.
but they're trying to play games with these guys and act tough, and these guys know they're not tough. And so, yeah, bad things happen.
Bad thing, yeah, they die. And there's this huge fight scene through, there's like an arcade in this element, and the roller derby, and
I believe it's a laser tag arena. Oh, maybe that is that's a, what it is. That is attached to the roller derby.
And I was like, is it bowling alley?
Roller disco, not roller derby.
Imagining that.
No, a laser tag arena. That's what it looks like.
You were very upset about the pinball machine.
Well, yes, but Maya turns off the lights because, of course, I don't know. She wants to... It wants to look cool. It's not like Daredevil turning off the lights, but she also blares music, which makes more sense because she's deaf.
Yes.
And she like makes the music go real loud. And of course they choreograph this fight scene nicely to the music.
This is a huge fight scene, by the way.
An amazing fight scene, really well choreographed, and she kicks a whole bunch of butt.
So much butt.
Kills some henchmen.
Many henchmen. And then
knocks out some other henchmen.
But at the end...
They put the R rating to full use in this scene.
They really did. Head henchman. Anyway. As she's, like, killing everyone else by herself, grabs Bonnie and Henry and has them, like, kneeling at gunpoint. And, like, it's just him left, basically. And she's like, and this is an interesting moment of realization for her, because she's like, okay, well, I guess that's it then. Like, I have to save them. And then she is also then kneeling at gunpoint. And right before he's about to pull the trigger, he gets a phone call.
Yeah. So basically, I don't know what Maya's plan was there, because he uses Bonnie as a hostage and says, well, you better stop, like,
yeah,
without so many words, has her at gunpoint, and so Maya gives herself up. But I don't know what her plan was,
because
they were all just gonna die anyway.
Oh, I think when they get the phone call, it's just Henry and Maya. I think it shows them like she's trading herself for Bonnie, I think is the idea.
I guess. Because they're the ones involved.
Maybe, yeah.
So, whatever.
But I mean, like,
anyway,
they're going to go after Bonnie and kill her. Anyway.
Yeah, they're super.
Maya, you know this. You are smarter than
this. They super are. So, I don't know what her plan was there. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
So, that is her first realization when Henry's like, only one person would have been able to call him off. And she's like, no, I killed him. And she goes home, and out of the shadows steps Fisk, and the episode ends.
And he's like, I want to go on a picnic.
That's episode 4.
Yeah. I want to go on a picnic.
A picnic? So they go on a picnic in her house. And she's like expecting him to kill her, but
it's an extremely tense, it's like really well done, because it's like very understated.
Yes.
But there's like, you can just feel the tension.
You really can. Okay, I love Fisk as a villain.
Yeah.
But he's a straight up villain. Like, let's not mince words here. In this, I almost felt sympathy for him, because he keeps trying to reach out to her, but his, like, he's so skewed in his, like, emotional loyalties. He has this henchman grab her and put this, like, these contacts in. When he talks, it, like, translates to someone signing.
Yeah, it puts, like, it's augmented reality.
There we go.
Contacts, mm-hmm, that instantly translate his words that he's speaking into sign language on these, like,
exactly,
augmented reality arms.
And he has an earbud, basically,
that does instantaneous translation of sign language.
Yeah. And
because the problem is, like, him and Maya, he had this, like, father-daughter relationship with her, even before her father died,
mm-hmm,
but especially after he, like, kind of, like, worked her through that grief, trauma. Not in a healthy way at all. But they had a familial relationship.
They did.
She
calls him uncle.
They had never been able to really communicate.
Yes,
with each other.
They often had a translator for a while.
They often had a translator, but of course, you can't really trust a translator for nefarious activities.
Pew, pew.
Don't be a translator for gangsters. How about that?
Crazy concept.
Step one. So, this is interesting that he, like, went through this expense to get this, like, crazy technology, because that's wild.
Well, that's the thing. I understand he's a very rich man, but, like, he doesn't, he lavishly spends money on people he cares about.
Yes, but he spends money. He doesn't bother learning sign language.
That is a big thing.
Doesn't bother learning sign language. That is
a big thing, and he doesn't understand why that's a problem.
No.
But Maya's whole family, who hasn't seen it for 20 years, is still fluent in sign language, including Biscuits, who is her younger cousin, who left when he would have been like 6 mm-hmm. or 7, because I think she was 8, she said, when she left, and he was younger than
her. Yeah, he was younger.
So he is fluent in sign language for a cousin he hasn't seen in 20 years. Let's just
very interesting. I don't know. That's an interesting thing.
That is an interesting thing. So he, Fisk tells her that he will give her his entire criminal empire. Basically, like, I'm going to name you my heir to my criminal empire.
She's going to be the queen.
Yeah, you get to be the queen. That's what you want. You can have it if you come back to New York with me. I think it's the next day or something like that.
Hop on my private plane.
Exactly. So basically, it's a day to decide. And so she's looking and she's like, my grandma has never accepted me. I have these other family connections that I'm either afraid that I'm going to hurt or, like, I feel like they've abandoned me. And here I have someone who's like, you can have everything, but also I don't trust him. But he also taught me not to trust him, and he's proud of me for not trusting him, apparently.
Well,
so
she's no,
super conflicted.
He said you can't trust anybody except me was his kind mm-hmm. of whole thing.
Yeah.
And like... I think you can actually believe what he's telling her.
I think so too.
He's not lying to her.
He doesn't lie. It's his whole thing.
He wants her to be part of this criminal empire, but she's like, do I actually want to be a queen pin?
Exactly.
So she's struggling with that.
So she goes to visit... Well, she goes to visit Uncle Henry, who then drives her to Grandma's house and is like, you need to go talk, because she basically, she almost passes out. She goes into like a trance because she started getting visions, right? And Uncle Henry's like, yeah, no, we're not doing this. Goes to
she
Grandma's.
Literally does pass out, actually. That's how he gets her in the car. She's out cold.
Yeah. So, and wakes up and she's at Grandma's house. And so they start to have this conversation, and she explains about like how she saw them when she was giving birth to her daughter and how like that just broke her. And Maya says, you never reached out. Like, if family like connection is so important to you, I was your family. Like, you screwed up. That's on you. You were the adult. I was 8,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Good point, Maya. It's true.
No, nobody's perfect. Sometimes things are hard, especially amongst family.
Exactly. So they have like a little upsetting thing, and it was really fun. Well, not really fun. Fantastic writing. She comes out, and Uncle Henry says something like, "How did that go?" And she said, "It was exhausting," which is like that is dealing with it. It's not. She's like, "You screwed up," but she's also like, "It's just exhausting dealing with this." So Grandma starts making a garment, and as soon as she starts making a garment, you're like, there we have our superhero outfit.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming. Maya goes to Fisk's hotel room.
Yeah, because he's like, I'm going to stay. He's, of course, staying at the Indian Casino.
Of course he
hotel,
is. Of course he is.
Which is the best place in town, and whatever, and he's in the fancy, like, penthouse suite of the casino hotel, and... She goes and sneaks in there, but there's no guards.
Nope.
He's alone in there by himself.
And she goes there, and she seems like she's ready to kill him. And he flat out is like,
"You're here to kill me?
You are here to kill me." And he pulls out a box, and in it is the hammer that he used to kill his father.
Okay, an aside here. Very important scene, obviously. He's like...
Oh, my God.
Like, obviously, important scene. We're going to get there. But the importance of the hammer is actually much more.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever, again, this is a Spotlight series, so but if you ever watch the actual Daredevil shows on Netflix, it actually goes back into Kingpin's like origin story. His backstory. Yeah, no, this is important. It goes into his backstory in that show, and it talks about how he kills his father to protect his mother with a hammer, and it's like this horrible, violent thing, and it's like kind of how he became this. Big violent man.
Yeah, he was like a big kid, and he got picked on a lot, and his dad was one of them.
Horribly violent,
and he was super super abusive, and he beat the crap out of his mom all the time. And then one of the times he was doing it, I think he like smacked Fisk around first, and then was just like beating the crap out of his mother, and he was afraid that he was gonna kill his mother. And the closest thing next to him was a hammer, so he picked it up and like hit his dad over the head with it, and then kept going
and kept wailing on him. And so that's like how he transitioned into being from a bullied kid to being the bully of bullies. Like,
yeah, which is so interesting. And I think it's why Fisk is like, such a well-written villain.
So the reason I bring this up and why the hammer is important is they're saying his origin story in the Netflix Daredevil series is his origin story in the MCU. Mm-hmm. And actually, they have confirmed that they are now going to be calling the Netflix series part of the MCU.
Really?
Yes. So that is, like, more or less official. They can be kind of loosey-goosey with it, because it also with the hammer, it's not exactly the same hammer that they had in the Netflix series. So, like, but they're treating that as more or less canon, and they can change a little bit if they want to.
So, but, okay, so aside from Echo and Kingpin and everything, Daredevil and Kingpin's story in Netflix series is connected
to
Jessica Jones. And so are they saying it's all...
That's what they're saying.
Oh my god, are we going to get Jessica Jones?
But... Unfortunately, there's also this guy called Iron Fist that nobody likes, but...
Are we going to get Jessica Jones and Luke Cage?
I that's what they were saying. So, yes, the whole Defenders universe is part of, like, maybe a new street-level aspect of the MCU.
That's kind so
of
cool.
Kind of how it was on Netflix, which I liked most of those shows. The one suggestion that people had was...
Recast Iron Fist?
Well, instead of having Danny Rand be Iron Fist, have his girlfriend be Iron Fist, because she was, like, way cooler and better. And awesome.
But she wasn't a white male.
Well, that's... If you listen to the people whining about the MCU right now, that'll be right up their alley at this point.
Why did Iron Fist become so popular all of a sudden? I don't understand.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, they've said
that's
so
cool.
Basically... you can consider the Netflix series as canon now.
Okay, so in the comics, is that not how Kingpin becomes Kingpin?
I don't think they ever go into his backstory, really.
That's a shame, because that's freaking cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that much about the comics, but...
This episode also opens instead of with, I know I said it was her grandmother's story, was this one, and the episode is named after her grandmother. The her story, the giving birth to her mother story, is told during flashbacks instead of opening with it. It opens with Kingpin, Fisk, picking up a young Maya from school and going full street level, beating the crap out of someone to death on a hot dog or candy or ice cream vendor.
It was an ice cream vendor, yeah. Ice cream cart, and Maya wanted some ice cream, and of course she can't talk because she's deaf,
so she's pointing and he's like, I don't understand. He's kind of like,
he's being
real, very rude,
very rude to a
and
small
so she
child
just leaves, and Fisk is like, I'll be right back, and goes and beats the absolute crap, like beats him to death basically.
He's if he's not dead, he's gonna wish he was.
And then he makes a phone call and he's covered in this guy's blood
in his white suit,
of course. And he says, I don't want Maya to see me like this, and he turns around and Maya's standing there, and so he's like, starts like, oh my god, and Maya looks at him and walks up to the guy and starts kicking him.
Yeah. And so that is, again, very important to show that she always was a little bit on the dark side as
well,
right?
That's a little bit more than just a little bit on the dark side. Normally someone would be terrified of that, but she was like, no, this guy was mean to me. I'm going to, like, kick the crap out of him, too. Mm-hmm. And then she looks at Fisk and takes his hand. And this is before her dad dies. This isn't, like, a replacement thing. She's always been this close and always appreciates this about him. So that's how we open. So she's in the hotel and she sees this hammer. He flat out is like, look, if you're here to kill me, I want you to do it with this, because it's
symbolic.
And she's like, it's familial. Like, it's almost like passing on this thing. He sees her almost like a daughter.
Yeah, basically. And he's like, you're right, I didn't do as well by you as I should have, and like, I've done a lot of failings like my father had and things like that. Like, I've kind
he
of abused
sees himself
you
as his father
and used you and things like that. So if you're going to bash my head in, I kind of deserve it. And then we'll both be free is what he says.
Yeah. Yeah. So
which is
like,
it's fascinating.
It's
like,
oh man, this was so freaking, this was such a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he's not even yelling. He's just being all Fisk-like about himself. And she's like really upset because she's holding the gun and she's looking at the hammer and she's like, what's going to happen? She says basically it's like if you're here, if you're here to do this, he's like, this is something I'm passing on to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cause he had told her that his dad was killed,
yeah.
but he didn't tell her he was the one who did it until right now. So it's also this, I'm trusting you with this.
Kind of
and you understand totally. And you mm-hmm. understand that he sees her as his, basically his daughter now. And she doesn't kill him. She refuses to kill him.
So she thinks about it for a little while.
She does, but she says no.
And then she drops the hammer and goes, no,
no.
And leaves.
And so he repeats his invitation to join her in New York. And then we end this episode the next morning finding out that Maya's not there. And he's making some phone calls. And he tracks down the guys who are tailing her, because of course guys were tailing her. And she has left town. And so he's enraged. And you end the episode with him, like, just punching a wall in his private jet.
He's flipping out as Fisk does.
As Fisk does,
yeah,
yes.
He gets angry, yeah.
Be glad there's no car doors around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So our last episode is called Maya. And in this one, we do open with another flashback, but this is actually to Maya's childhood. And in this one, Maya hits a woodpecker with a slingshot, and her mother... reprimands her and actually literally heals the woodpecker.
Well, so because grandma said that, like, kind of their family line has powers, and her mom was a healer. And when they're talking and they're emotional about this, you're thinking this is like a metaphorical, like, she could heal with her words.
Yeah,
or
she
something.
Was very loving
yeah.
and very yeah.
Like a caretaker type of personality, which you kind of saw in the brief scenes with the mother before.
Yeah.
So yeah, whatever. No, no, she actually has magic fingers like E.T.
Yeah, she literally brought this woodpecker back to life. But you also get Maya literally killed something to see what would happen.
Well, no, she injured. It's not dead. It's just broken wings and stuff. Like, it was gonna die.
It was gonna die. But and when mom asks, why did you do this? She's like, I wanted to see if I could hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Not
great. That's serial killer tendencies, super duper.
Right, yeah. So you're like, that's an interesting competition.
Little bit too much of her father in her, which
yes.
is what her grandma's
which
problem
was.
Yes. Yeah.
We also have a very interesting scene with Fisk meeting grandma in the post office, and he bumps into her. And they have this little stranger conversation, why are you in town? And he notices that she's wearing a necklace with the sign for love, I think, on it.
Yeah, I think so.
And he says, oh, I noticed this. She says, yes, I wear it for my granddaughter. And he says, interesting. My niece, and she's like, you know sign. And she says, well, my niece, which she called him uncle, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so then the next time we find out Bonnie and Grandma, Chula, I think is her name, have both gone missing. Biscuits is trying to hold
well,
down the fort.
So this whole episode, they're building up the big climax is they're preparing for the annual powwow in town, which is
mm-hmm.
this big deal. A bunch of people come from out of town.
Yes.
And it's a big super duper powwow, which is perfect scene for a climax
fantastic.
Of a thing. And Biscuits is like, where is everybody? I'm doing parking duty by myself. This is not my job.
Yeah.
Where is everybody? And
so Maya promptly realizes what's going on, turns around, heads home. She's like, oh, I thought by leaving I was protecting them. Turns out I'm doing the exact opposite.
Shock.
I know. So she visits Grandma's home and has this whole conversation with a vision of her mother. And then she kind of... hey, that's the name of the show. She says the family's legacy will echo through her actions.
Yeah. Little on the nose, but, you know, whatever.
Little bit. And then we see the finished garment, which is, of course, going to be her superhero suit that Grandma has made her. So, again, we have her, by putting it on, she's accepting that is the side of her that she's going to embrace.
It's very cool. There's, leather pauldrons and native
yeah,
beading
really
work
is cool.
Like
yeah.
very very I
it bridges everything
it's
perfectly.
It's it reminds me of the care they did with the Black Panther costumes
mm.
and how they used a lot of African tribal stuff.
Agreed.
To inform that I would imagine they did something similar with this,
right?
I
hope so, because
yeah.
it looks fantastic.
And it, I don't know, it's very cool.
There's a reason that Black Panther won costume awards. Just it's amazing. So she heads to the powwow festival. She locates Fisk, who's kidnapped Chula and Bonnie. And he basically is like, I now see that you care for them, so I'm good to make you watch me kill them all in front of you. Slowly, painfully. And
a bunch of henchmen are rolling up to kill a bunch of people at the powwow. Yep. And
Biscuits saves the day with them.
And the head henchman that we saw at the roller derby before has actually showed up dressed as Cousin Eddie.
Yep.
Basically, super touristy garb in an RV, and he's got a rocket launcher in his Yeti cooler.
So, Yeti cooler.
And
Uncle Henry
gets his revenge on him.
You definitely cheer for, by the way.
Yeah, no, cool moment. Biscuits gets his moment because he's monster trucked grandma's pickup truck that he had wrecked previously, and just demolishes all the henchmen, so the henchmen aren't a problem anymore. Yeah. and you're left with the barn scene with Maya and her grandma and her cousin.
Like, the male relatives are definitely helping. Like, grandpa helped fix her leg, gave her some like nods to her ancestry with that as well. You have the men out there dealing with that, but inside we have
they're doing the side quests. The main climax is all the females together.
Totally. And if that's a feature. Yeah. So Maya actually shares her powers, her Choctaw powers, with Chula, with her grandmother, and Bonnie, and then they're all like, what's happening? She's like, just trust me. They all overpower Fisk's men. Seeing grandma kick serious butt in this
is Kung Fu grandma
so enjoyable.
It's pretty funny.
I cannot even imagine. And then in Maya and Fisk, I don't, like, what do you want to say about this?
Well, she's imparted with her mom's healing powers, and instead of just like beating him up like you would expect in the climax of a superhero thing, some sort of big old fight scene, because he's mad and he's coming at her, and he's like, I'm fed up, and like, I'm Fisk and I'm strong, and it looks like they're gonna fight, obviously. That's what you expect. And she uses the ET fingers and kind of does a mind meld and like goes into his like past trauma and talks to him about
it. He's like listening to his father beat the crap out of his mother, like hiding in a bedroom.
Goes back to the moment when he used the hammer.
Just
before he uses the hammer, and like he's in his like teenage state, mentally, and like freaking out and stuff, and she kind of like talks him through it, and doesn't like fully heal him, but kind of changes his mental outlook anyway. And
he wakes up enraged, like, and he just keeps screaming, "What did you do? What did you do?" Because he's like, stuff is
changed. Enraged, but not at her, and like he's confused.
Yeah, confused. Props to acting in this one. You absolutely understand. He's just like, I don't understand what's happening. And he hears sirens, and he looks, and he's like, he could kill her.
But he leaves. Yeah, he doesn't have, because she kind of goes back into his mind and like takes that burden off of him, because like she takes the hammer and goes off screen, and so you're like, so you're not really sure what that effect had on him, but he's no longer like just angry at everything. And then we get the very important, so the spotlight, like the story is very good, encapsulates Maya's story, and you have like the whole circle.
I know what you're gonna say, because you're gonna end on Fisk, right? So Maya, so it looks like she's about to leave, but before she does, she stops at grandma's house, and they're having a backyard like picnic.
Barbecue. And like they really need to just like Photoshop Vin Diesel in the corner with a Corona, because it's a family barbecue.
And Henry's there, and Grandma's there, and Grandpa's there, and Bonnie's there, and Biscuits is there, and she shows up, and that's the whole thing, is she's like accepting that side of her family,
and they're accepting her as well.
And they are accepting her as well. And that was her whole thing. She says, when she's confronting Fisk before that, she says, "This is my legacy, not you." Or, "I am their legacy, I'm not yours." Like, if I get to choose in this situation, I'm not choosing this side. So it shows her doing that, and meanwhile, Fisk is on the airplane.
So, yeah, that's the kind of wraps up her story. She's, like, accepted her ancestors, and she's going to not maybe become a gangster anymore.
Probably
go ride her bike around and beat up some bad guys. I don't know.
Sure.
Whatever. But she's also going to do some barbecues with her family, because that's cool. Anyway, and so you get your credits and everything.
Family.
Yeah, family. and that her story, it's encapsulated, spotlight,
yeah,
perfect. You don't, whatever, that's yeah, all good. And then it goes to the post-credit scene, because there's, it is still the MCU, and they gotta have a post-credit scene.
Got it. It's and, like the law.
And Fisk is sitting there on his plane, and this is not part of the spotlight, because this is gonna have implications on
sure
a lot
is
of stuff.
Otherwise, they wouldn't include it.
Yeah, and he's sitting there, and he's like, whoa. He just has this, like, puzzled look on his face.
He's like, what is happening?
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to, whatever. But the TV comes on, and they're talking about the New York mayoral campaign, mm-hmm, and how there's not really a front runner yet, and, like, people are looking for new blood and a new voice and someone outside of the establishment, and then, like, suddenly purpose comes on his face.
Yes, and they even say something to the effect of, like, what they really want is someone who's willing to get, like, down and dirty in the streets. Like, a real guy who's willing to brawl for the people. And
yeah,
he's like,
yeah,
really?
And, of course, they're meeting, like, a political brawler.
Yeah,
but he's like,
yeah,
I got
yeah, yeah,
I got this. Anyway, yeah, so basically what this means is the plot for Daredevil Born Again is going to revolve a lot around Mayor Fisk, which is a storyline from the comics.
Right, okay.
Which is cool. I think it's cool.
Yeah, no, it was, it is interesting because he's like, goes from utter confusion to like, interesting,
like
I've got purpose again.
Yeah, he found his purpose in that moment again, because he was a little bit lost after
I honestly don't know if lost Fisk is a good thing.
No, not really, but it is interesting because that's entirely conveyed through his facial expression. Like, the acting is just phenomenal.
It is amazing. And him just screaming, like, what did you do? Like, what did
yeah
you do? So, so good. Favorite episode?
Episode 3 was the best.
I disagree.
Nah, it was.
That's the second best. Episode 4.
Nah, episode 4 was fine.
Really? With, like, the
yeah
hammer?
Yeah, it was fine.
The...
No.
Oh, my God.
No, episode 3 was the best. You open with the silent film western thing.
That was
thing,
really good. That
and
was
then,
really good.
And then
yeah
you have the best action scene since, like, the best hand-to-hand action scene since the Netflix shows.
Wow.
In the laser
okay
tag arena with the soundtrack and everything. And... yeah, no, just
okay
fantastic.
We are going to have a conversation, a very short conversation, because this is already a very long episode.
Hmm.
What did you think overall?
I liked it quite a bit, actually.
Okay,
and
I know lots of people who are just not watching it.
Well, and that's going to be the problem. It was a tough sell. You got a amputee minority female who's also deaf, and... yeah, so there's a lot of things against that's not like mass market appeal.
Right. So here's what I keep hearing, and I'm hearing this from like intelligent people who are like generally don't discount things like, oh, female superheroes,
mm-hmm,
like aren't doing that, but they're like, well, I didn't grow up with her, I didn't know her. And I'm just like,
she is a bit newer. She
okay
was introduced,
but like a lot of these characters we didn't grow up or know.
She's from about, I think her first comic appearance was like 1998
okay
or something
okay
like that, which coincidentally is only shortly after Harley Quinn was introduced in the Batman.
Are you serious?
Batman animated series.
Are you serious?
Her first appearance was in the Batman animated series in like 1995. Harley Quinn. Yeah.
No way.
Completely invented for that. Yeah.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was like a complete mainstay.
Nope. Mm-mm.
I thought she was
there. Brand new character in 1995 or something like
that's
that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. For a kid's sort of kids cartoon show.
I had no idea. That's amazing.
So yeah, I mean, she is a newer character, but not that new. And I don't know. The out there-ness of her being a minority and female and disabled and like having the handicaps and stuff,
yeah,
which is like an important part of her character, and made sense to introduce as a foil to Daredevil.
Yes.
Which is why I'm sure she was written.
Of course.
Makes perfect sense. Whatever. That's fine. But it's also coming on the heels of, like, a few quote-unquote
duds.
Like, especially Secret Invasion. I can see people not wanting to, like, jump into something. Which is why they released all the episodes at once. Because, like, apparently a lot of the problem they've had with these Marvel shows releasing once weekly, especially some of the weaker ones, is that people will start them and not finish them because
right
they're not going to bother waiting, and like by the time episode 3 comes out, it's
who
3
cares
weeks later, and who cares?
Right.
So that is kind of too bad. Maybe some word of mouth will help that. Yeah.
I don't know. You're going to have people who just hate it because they're going to auto hate it because it's all of all those things, which is very sad. But I'm more worried about the people who like generally like Marvel, but are like, this is something different. I don't really know. And like, whatever, I don't care. So like, how do we get them to watch it? Cause I think they're reachable.
I don't know. It is what it is. Like either they're going to watch it or not. The benefit is it's the spotlight thing and it stands on its own and it exists.
And it's short.
It exists and it's there for you to watch if you want. And if you don't want, well, I guess that's your choice.
Would you recommend, though?
I would. I'd say give it a shot. It's only... They're not even hour-long episodes. You're investing maybe two movies worth of length.
Okay.
And I've watched some bad movies in my time, so... two movies worth of length are one Oppenheimer.
That's true.
It's like about
but
one
Oppenheimer's
Oppenheimer.
Not a bad movie. I liked Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer's very good, but there's some mixed responses to Oppenheimer, partly because it was so hyped.
Right.
And it's not... That kind of movie's not going to be everyone's cup of tea.
Very true.
It's very dialogue heavy and things like that. But because it was so hyped that it like outreached beyond its normal demographic.
I understand.
And so there's some people that went like, oh, why was this like... You're sitting there watching...
People were expecting Batman.
I don't know what people were expecting.
Well, I'm
but
saying Nolan, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
So this one is completely underhyped, and so I don't know. I don't know. I'm like, I keep hearing things people are just like, well, I'm not going to watch it. And like, but you're missing this like great story. It's way better than Secret Invasion.
Oh,
let me just tell you that right now. I really, really, really liked this.
It's probably the tightest Disney Plus show that they've done. Like, even including... Well, Andor was really tight. But even that had the weird episode that didn't quite fit. This one, because it's so short, it's very tight. It reminds me more of the feeling of, like, the prestige HBO crime drama shows. Your Sopranos and your The Wire and stuff like that. That kind of feeling. It's more dark and gritty. It's definitely rated R. There's some violence and...
I don't know if it is rated R. I think it's rated 14A.
Well...
It should be rated R.
It's TVMA is probably what it's rated. Because it's a TV show. But it would be rated R if it was a movie. There's some
serious violence.
Significant violence.
Oh my God.
Much more violent than any MCU thing. Other than the Netflix shows, which are now apparently also MCU. But, you know, whatever. It's short. Give it a try. Get at least to the third episode because the third episode is very fun.
Echo earns his TVMA rating.
Yeah, TVMA. That's TV's version of rated R.
Bloody, mortal violence, and that your protagonist is basically a villain or at least a gray character.
She murders people.
Yeah.
Willingly
and easily.
And
you see that sometimes she enjoys it.
A little bit.
Yep. Okay, because, like, I'm recommending this show, but I'm, like, the target audience, basically, for this.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it did well in that target.
There is some elements of, yay, woman power, but it's not done cheesily, like, a lot
of...
Oh,
my God. I love Infinity War and Endgame, but, like, this stupid pandering in Endgame for the women power thing.
The woman power lineup in Endgame was... pretty dumb.
It's like they have no reason to be together.
In Infinity War, they did a smaller version of it that was made much more sense, and it was fine. And it was like
they made sense to be together.
More
Endgame, they didn't.
More subtle. The one in Endgame was dumb. It just was.
It actually it offended me that it was so dumb because it was like trying to do the same thing at Infinity War.
I just kind of rolled my eyes a little bit, but it did take you out of the big.
It did, but they're not pandering to you. They're pandering to me. They're pandering to the millennial woman who's like watching this show.
Anyway. So no, it's not pandering.
No, it's not at all.
There's no element to pandering.
No.
So if you're like worried about pandering,
no.
It's not that.
No. Nothing
there's,
like that.
There's some well done exploration of a different culture and
yes.
Like, they at the end credits they talk about how they consulted with the tribe and stuff like that. And so I think that's pretty cool. You know what we didn't talk about?
Hmm.
The intro credits.
Oh my my goodness. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And in every episode except for the first one, because that was like the whatever, you get your like typical TV show intro credits as all TV shows do. And this one's like fantastic. We both said it's very Bond inspired.
Super Bond.
Apparently, yeah. It's not an original song that they wrote for the show. It's like
it
came
was.
Out in like 2022 or something. But the lyrics and everything actually like hit perfectly.
It's
with,
literally James Bond.
It feels like it was written for it, but it's also like done as a the credit style, like all the graphics and everything feel very James Bond.
Yeah.
And the song itself feels like it's written James as a Bond song. I don't know.
It very easily. I thought they would like. Hire people and are like, we want to make a Bond intro, but for like a Marvel show.
Yeah. Anyway, very cool.
Super cool. And this is like really refreshing. I didn't hate the Secret Invasion intro, but it was AI generated and everything like that, so I get that.
Mm-hmm.
This was like a really good intro.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. I did not skip it once. Not that I usually skip. I feel pretty strongly against skipping credit intros because I think it's part of the show almost.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. It's almost like hypnotizing your brain to get into that world or something.
I get that for sure. But okay, so I'm part of the target audience, and I'm saying you hit your mark, awesome. You are you're adjacent to, but you're not the 100%.
Well, no, I'm not female or a minority or anything. So like you're female, not a minority.
I'm not a minority,
but you're female.
But I'm a millennial, which is what they want. Like,
yeah.
Let's be honest.
I'm not going to say you're a terrible person if you don't watch this, because, like, that's dumb. But I think you should give it a try if you're, like, into Marvel stuff.
Yes.
Give it a try.
Yes.
It's good. It's just good.
Yeah. I think if you discount it because you aren't familiar with the character, you're doing yourself a disservice.
No, I can guarantee you no one was familiar with the Guardians of the Galaxy when that movie came out.
That's my whole point. And I
guarantee you.
And that's what I keep saying. I was like, you know what? I didn't read comic books growing up. I didn't know any... Okay, like, I knew, like, who the Hulk was and stuff like that. But, like, if I did that for all mine... And so what, you're just going to discount this one? Why? Because of the minority,
let's go less off the, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously. They were, like...
You wouldn't even say that's B tier.
They were, like, D minus tier. Like, they weren't even the first version of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Like, they're really, really off the page.
And they're
amazing. We'll go back to the beginning of the MCU. Iron Man was a big... big risk.
Yeah,
they went with that because that's all they had the rights left to.
Right.
They were he was the biggest character they had the rights left to. But even then, mainstream audiences, they didn't know who Iron Man was.
He's not the Hulk. He's not Spider-Man. He's not right. Like
people had no idea who Iron Man was. They went to see that movie because like, oh, the ads are cool and Robert Downey Jr.
Looks like a mess lately.
Like he looks like a cool. He's like kind of playing off his whole Playboy.
Yeah.
Kind of image, and and it wasn't because you grew up reading Iron Man comics, because some people out there did, but he was a C-tier level.
Yeah.
That's why they still had the rights to him. Like, let's not rewrite history at this point.
Yeah, it's true. So, I don't know, if you're just like, well, I didn't grow up with him, most people didn't grow up with any of these guys, okay? Like, let's just remember that. And if you're going to discount it because of that, I'm not really judging you, but you're doing yourself a disservice, and that's sad.
Yep.
Just give it a chance. It's really good. It's like, it's not beating out WandaVision for my favorite or anything like that, and I like Loki better than it. Even something like Werewolf by Night, I really like by it. What do you think about other things in comparison with this? I'm just, like, ranking it, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I probably like Loki overall better, but I would say this is because of the writing and the style of story. It's a lot tighter.
Okay.
It's just a good tight package.
You can just watch it. It's like going to watch a movie or something like
and
that.
And it's good. I don't know.
Totally agree.
Just,
I like that. It's in top five Disney Plus shows for me. Disney Plus Marvel shows for me. So yeah, watch it.
That's not that hard, really.
You got Loki. You got WandaVision.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what about something like Moonlight?
Moon Knight?
What did I say?
Moonlight?
That too.
That's a movie.
Totally right. Moon Knight, I really liked. I like it better than Moon Knight, though. And Werewolf by Night, I really liked.
Yeah.
Or like Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. That's technically a Disney Plus thing.
I guess. I was thinking it's a series specifically.
Okay. Well, if we take out the two specials, it's like in top three for me for sure. WandaVision, Loki,
it's better. It's better. It's obviously better than Secret Invasion. That's the only one I didn't like. I would put it on par with Ms. Marvel, but I really liked Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel is completely different tones. Oh my god!
But they hit a lot of the same notes for me as like design function, okay. Where you're
role within.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like Ms. Marvel.
Yes,
so.
I really like Ms. Marvel. If we're taking out the specials, Ms. Marvel would be my top five. Then it would be pretty close. For me, Echo means more than Ms. Marvel, but like it would be really close.
Right, because you're a woman, not a teenage girl. So
that makes sense.
It makes sense, yeah.
but I love Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, no, Ms. Marvel is great, and I really like Loki, and WandaVision was just really, really good.
WandaVision is in my top three favorite TV shows of all time.
Yeah.
So
I just like the high concept stuff, and it was really well. That was really well executed, and stuff like that. So yeah, it's easily in the top five because there's not really
anything else better.
You're not
gonna pick Falcon and Winter Soldier.
It was very like fine.
It was fine.
It was fine.
Hawkeye was some fun moments. It was fine.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, it was almost Secret Invasion. What If?
Oh, well, if you're counting What If, that's...
I'm counting What If. It's that, a Marvel Plus show.
Marvel Plus show?
Marvel Disney Plus show.
Yeah, but it's animated, so it's a little different.
Doesn't
right?
matter.
I love What If. I love What If.
Okay. Do you love What If more than...
What If might be, like, number two for me.
After Loki.
No, Loki would be number three.
After WandaVision.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Loki's okay. good, but it has problems.
Okay.
What If is just like perfect and
I love
and
it. Awesome.
And WandaVision was basically perfect.
For me, it goes. Oh, that's tough. WandaVision. Ooh, well, WandaVision's number one. I'd probably go Loki number two. Either What If then Echo or Echo then What If and then Ms. Marvel. Okay. Fun. Really long episode, but we like it. Watch Echo. So that's our show this week. Thank you, Elmiel, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work, as well as our social media links, at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, and that's also where you can email us. You can also find us on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms and on our YouTube channel, Adventures A. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you, and if you haven't yet, please do. It helps others find us and just means that you're an awesome person. If you know someone who might like listening to us, please be sure to recommend Disney A as well. So I'm Krista.
I'm Brandon.
Until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A. Do you know what we're doing next episode?
No.
Me neither.
Oh. Cool.